Our reading from the Bible is on page 1212. And it comes from Hebrews chapter 13, and we're going to read verses 11 to 16. Hebrews 13, verses 11 to 16. The high priest carries the blood of animals into the most holy place as a sin offering, but the bodies are burned outside the camp. And so Jesus also suffered outside the city gate to make the people holy through his own blood. Let us then go to him outside the camp, bearing the disgrace he bore. For here we do not have an enduring city, but we are looking for the city that is to come. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that openly profess his name. And do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices, God is pleased. Amen.
Well, good morning, everyone. My name's Andrew. As Jay said, I'm one of the associate ministers here, and it's great to be with you this morning as we continue our series looking at service, serving, and we're thinking about the subject of serving through sharing this morning. So do keep your Bibles open in Hebrews chapter 13. That'd be very helpful, and let's pray as we come to God's word. Father, as we've sung about that rugged cross where the blood of Jesus was spilt for us, we pray that as we hear your word now, we would, in response, cry out praise and honor to you with our voices and with our deeds. In Jesus' name, amen. Je suis Charlie, this phrase here. It became one of the iconic phrases of 2015, following the terrorist attacks on the French newspaper Charlie Hebdo. Je suis Charlie, or I am Charlie, as it's translated, quickly became a tagline used by journalists campaigning for the freedom of the press. It was quickly picked up by others, became a very popular and well-used hashtag, people using it to show solidarity with the victims of terror. Well, 2015 was a very troubling year for the city of Paris. Further attacks took place that left many dead. The response, again, was solidarity with those who had suffered at the hands of terrorists. So lighting up national monuments around the world became commonplace, like the Sydney Opera House here and Wembley Stadium, showing solidarity with the people of France. And then over here, France returned the gesture. For Belgium, following the attacks there in 2016, the Eiffel Tower lit up in the colours of Belgium, likewise the National Gallery in London down here. Such displays of solidarity are nothing new. It was the French journalist Nicole Baccarin who, on September the 11th, 2001, coined the phrase, "Tonight we are all Americans." And if we go back a bit further, this chap down here, John F. Kennedy, he wanted to express solidarity with the people of West Germany after the Berlin Wall went up. So he famously declared in 1963, "Ich bin ein Berliner," in front of 500,000 people gathered in West Berlin. "I am a Berliner." I wonder who you will identify with or show solidarity with in 2017. There's another badge of identity that we've seen a lot over the last few years. This symbol, you may have seen this. It's the Arabic letter Nun, which was spray-painted by radical Muslims on the homes and businesses of Christians in northern Iraq. The owners were publicly identified as followers of Christ and given a choice to convert to Islam, to leave, or to die. Many of them fled with little more than the clothes on their backs. And so this letter, this symbol, has been used by Christians around the world since to identify them with their persecuted brothers and sisters. Well, it's easy to show solidarity by changing our profile picture on social media, sitting in our nice house using our nice smartphone? But would we be as ready to show solidarity if we knew it would put us in danger too? Well, the letter to the Hebrews was written to Christians who had identified with Jesus, but they were under severe pressure to renounce him in order to stop getting humiliated, whipped, and imprisoned. In those days in the Roman Empire, anyone who was arrested and put in prison, they had to basically relinquish their property to the authorities. And it seems here, at the time of writing this letter, there was a very real threat that Christians who continued to openly profess the name of Jesus would be sent away to the far corners of the empire, into exile. So the big temptation for these Christians reading this for the first time was to renounce Jesus as Lord, to give him up. In particular, to return to a more socially acceptable and controllable religion of Judaism. But the writer writes them this incredible letter, full of rich truth about Jesus, to demonstrate to them once and for all that those who trust in the temple system in Jerusalem, well, they can't enjoy what Christians have through faith in Jesus. And those who have received forgiveness through trusting in Jesus, well, they have no need of the temple anymore. In other words, there is a choice to be made. And to press this home, at the end of our letter, in our passage here in Hebrews 13, we've read this graphic picture of Jesus going out from Jerusalem to the place of the skull, Golgotha, to suffer and to die on the cross. He was cast out of the city gate. He was sent out of the camp, if you like, just as the scapegoat in Old Testament times was sent out from the temple. And so these Christians are encouraged, they're exhorted not to go back to the old way of life, but to go out to Jesus, to maintain faith in him, to stand with him in that place of disgrace outside of the camp, trusting always in his once-for-all sacrifice. Then there are two other sacrifices mentioned in our verses that Christians are encouraged to offer in response to God through Jesus. So verse 15 talks about a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that openly profess his name. And verse 16 says, "And do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices God is pleased." Well, we're going to look at those two sacrifices and the rest of verses 11 to 16 under two headings this morning. We're going to see how, first of all, Christians stand with Jesus, and secondly, how Christians share with others. First of all, then, Christians stand with Jesus, for we belong to a better city. Christians stand with Jesus, for we belong to a better city. Looking at verses 11 to 15. Well, what's all this got to do with the serving series and serving as part of the church body? Why focus on verses 11 to 15 here? So surely all the serving stuff comes in verse 16, right? Doing good, sharing with others and all that. That's the serving bit, isn't it? So why must we focus on verses 11 to 15 as well? Well, the answer is because understanding our identity is key to when it comes to serving as Christians. So if you've been watching the new series of Who Do You Think You Are on the BBC, tracing people's roots and helping to shape who they are and their identity, who they consider themselves to be. Well, we've been saying in our series this term, throughout this series, that as Christians we should be thinking of ourselves as servants. We should consider ourselves to be servants. And what these verses here in Hebrews add to that picture is that as Christians we should be prepared to be publicly identified as servants of Jesus, even when that comes with a great cost. I think one reason, if we're honest, that we might shy away from serving Christ, serving his people, serving others, is that, well, people might find out that we're doing it. They'll look at our lives and say, "Ah, you're up to an awful lot of stuff with this church of yours. You seem to be building your life around this guy, Jesus, who I, along with most of the rest of the world, think was either a myth, a madman, or a troublemaker, or a nice guy, but not that God thing." Well, these Hebrew Christians reading this letter for the first time, would they have been tempted not to serve as Christians? Absolutely they would have been. They were under great pressure to keep their faith in Christ quiet. Yet earlier in the letter, the writer has reminded them of what they were like when they first became Christians, how they stood for Jesus and how that led them to stand beside other believers too and to serve them. If you just flick back a few pages with me to page 1209, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 32. This is what the writer writes to those Christians, reminding them. Hebrews 10:32. Remember those earlier days after you had received the light, when you endured in a great conflict full of suffering. Sometimes you were publicly exposed to insult and persecution. At other times you stood side by side with those who were so treated. You suffered along with those in prison and joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property, because you knew that you yourselves had better and lasting possessions. Better and lasting possessions. That perspective is key in all Christian living, in all Christian serving. The Hebrews had got it. They were in danger of forgetting it. So they are reminded, and they're reminded back in our passage, if you flick over again, page 1212, chapter 13, verse 14. For here we do not have an enduring city, but we are looking for the city that is to come. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise. There are many saints of old who have made this truth the basis for giving their lives in joyful service of Christ, service of his church, service of people who need to hear about Christ. Some of them go way back. We read about a few of them just one page or two back in our Bibles in Hebrews chapter 11. This is the last bit of flicking around we'll do this morning, but it's not too far to go. Hebrews chapter 11, well, Abraham's a good example of this perspective. Chapter 11, verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land. Why? Verse 10. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. And then Moses, too, even more clearly, in verse 24, had this perspective. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God, rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as greater value than the treasures of Egypt. Why? Because he was looking ahead to his reward. When the world says, as it does, that identifying yourself as a Christian is foolish, serving Christ and his people is a foolish way to spend your time. Well, in response to that, God's people have, over the years, said, I will gladly stand with Jesus and serve, because here we do not have an enduring city, but we are looking for the city that is to come. It was 61 years ago now that the bodies of Jim Elliot and his four friends were discovered floating down a river after they'd gone to Ecuador. And they'd invested years of their lives in preparing to take the good news about Jesus to the Orca Indian tribe. They had some promising early exchanges with the tribe, but soon the tribe turned on them and speared them all to death. Well, some years before leaving for Ecuador, Elliot wrote in his diary, I think evidence that he got this, he understood and believed Hebrews 13. He wrote these words, he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. Abraham got it. Moses got it. Jim Elliot got it. Will we get it? How will the truth of these verses play out for us in our lives? What will it look like for us to go to Christ and stand with him and serve him? we might experience some of the following. You do what on a Sunday morning? You're getting what? Baptized? You're not coming out because what? You're preparing a talk for kids about Jesus? You're not going to support this cause of mine because what? It goes against what you believe? You've got how many people around for lunch? You're going to continue doing that project, expressing those antiquated views? Do you know what that'll do to your reputation? Who is that having Christmas dinner with you? You're late back because you went to what? A ministry fair? You give what to people you've just met? You want me to read what with you? The Bible? Sorry, what? You're not going to become a partner in the firm because you're going to do some part-time ministry training. What's that? How do we endure those kinds of challenges to us serving Christ? Well, by remembering the truth that those insults cannot and do not endure. The opinions of others should not define us. Our identity is found in Christ Jesus, who suffered outside the city gate to make us holy through his blood. People who consider us a disgrace for serving Christ, they're not the ones who write history. God does. Their kingdoms do not endure. God's does. So for the Christian, our identity is not primarily je suis Charlie, or ich bin ein Berliner, or I do this job, or I support this team. But it is, I belong to Jesus, and I'm going to go to him and stand with him and serve him, gladly bearing the disgrace that he bore. See, owning who we are in Jesus sets us free to serve, to do so joyfully. For here we don't have an enduring city, but we're looking for a city that is to come. An internal inheritance, a wonderful final resting place. Hebrews describes it as a kingdom, a country, a city. We're looking, it suggests a determined look towards something, doesn't it? An orientation towards a goal. Are you looking? Are we looking? Are we those people who are looking for that great city that is to come? Looking not to what other people might think or say about us, but to Jesus and to the inheritance that is ours in him. Heaven and earth will perish, but Jesus remains the same. He lives forever. His priesthood is permanent. He is able to save completely those who come to God through him. And so verse 15, therefore, through Jesus, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that openly profess his name. In the Old Testament system of sacrifice, the sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, that particular thank offering, that used to be carried in to the holy place with the animal blood sacrifice in the temple. But if you look back to verse 13, we get told a bit about that, the sacrifice of the blood of animals to atone for sin. That's how it used to happen with the high priest there. But now that's been fulfilled through Jesus, through his once and for all sacrifice of himself. And so now everyone who trusts in his sacrifice, who have been made holy through Jesus' blood, well, they are now free to offer in a sacrifice of praise themselves without the need of any more blood sacrifices. And so we're encouraged to do that just here, to praise God, to profess his name and his character to one another and to the world. We live in a troubled world. Seems all the more so this year for a variety of reasons, doesn't it? Fractious, divided. But the Christian gospel, the good news about Jesus, offers hope to you, whoever you are, whatever you've done. If you haven't already done so, let me encourage you to make your future secure by trusting ultimately in your heart, not in any power or person that will one day pass away, but to put your trust in this Jesus who died as a once and for all sacrifice for sinners, so that they might be forgiven from everything they've ever thought and said and done against God and against others, so that they might inherit eternal life in God's new creation. If you've already done that, let me encourage you to put verse 15 into practice, to openly profess the name of Jesus. One way God's word instructs us to do that is through baptism. If you haven't already been baptized and you know Jesus as Savior and Lord, we'd love to baptize you. We're planning a service for that later in the term. Speak to Jay or to Kevin or myself if you're interested. Christians stand with Jesus because we belong to a better city. And this truth sets us free to serve. And so secondly, verse 16, Christians share with others, for this pleases God. Christians share with others, for this pleases God. And do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. Looking forward to that better inheritance means that we are free to share what we have to bless others. Just like in that first part of the passage, if we remember that the insults that come from others for being a Christian, if they don't define us, that means we don't need to hold on to them because we've got a better city and a better Savior. Well, the same goes for our possessions, the things that we own, the things that we have, the things that we've been given, our time even. Our stuff doesn't define us either. So therefore, we are free to joyfully offer all that we have, our energy, to doing good as a sacrifice to God through Jesus. Doing these things, serving through sharing with others, that doesn't please God in and of itself unless we offer them through Jesus, who has shed his blood to make us holy. It's then that God is pleased with our serving. The Christian life can be very tough at times. It can involve multiple sacrifice in all sorts of areas. But God has provided us with an enduring city. So we should offer a sacrifice of praise to him by professing his name, by sacrificing time, energy, and whatever we have for our brothers and sisters. This pleases God, we read here. Jesus suffered to make us holy through his blood. This is what being holy looks like, being set apart for God. As Paul writes to Titus, a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. So as Christians, we're set apart, we're set free to serve in this way because we know that all that we have comes from God. The things that we've been given aren't going to endure for eternity. Our home with Jesus will be our eternity. So in the light of that, we consider how we might use all that God has given us to bless and to serve others. According to this passage, what we've read already in Hebrews earlier in this letter, it's clear that these Christians considered solidarity with Jesus to be unmistakably connected to solidarity with his people, with their brothers and sisters in Christ. Identify with Jesus and you identify with a family who you share with, who you do good to. A family that together does good to the world as they hold out the message of the cross. I think if we were to meet these first recipients of this letter and say to them, well, yeah, I love Jesus, but I'm not so much a fan of the church, they would look at you a bit strangely and think, have we really understood what Jesus has done for us? These Christians knew that to say I'm with Jesus is also to say I'm with his people. And that's seen through identifying with them. Consider yourself belonging to them, serving them, sharing with them, doing good to them and with them to the world. Just like the early church in Jerusalem in the book of Acts, we read there in Acts 2 that this church could boast that not one of them was in need. Why? Because everybody was living out this Hebrews 13 kind of stuff. They shared whatever they had. Like the Apostle Paul, who could say and speak truth when he wrote to the church in Thessalonica that he was pleased not just to share the gospel with them, but his life as well with them. The church in Acts also enjoyed the favor of those around them in the world because of their life of serving and sharing in this way. It's a powerful witness. So not only is praise a Christian sacrifice offered through Jesus, but also these acts of kindness, of doing good, of sharing, These are also appropriate Christian sacrifices, forms of worship to God. I wonder which of those you particularly tend towards. You might tend towards somebody who is good at praising and professing the name of Jesus and declaring that, yeah, Jesus is my king. But actually, if you're honest, you need to work at sharing with others. Or maybe the other way round. You're great at sharing with others, but you struggle a bit more to actually know your colours to the mast and say, yeah, I'm standing with Jesus. Let's watch our strengths, our weaknesses. Let's encourage one another, help each other to grow where we need to. They go together, don't they? Without the praise of God, our acts of giving and sharing, as good as they are, could be misunderstood as to why we're doing them. The motive might not be clear. Without the expressions of love and care for others, our praise to Jesus could lack integrity. Well, what does that really mean for you in the way you live? Christian sacrifice, Christian worship involves both. So let's not be defined by the opposition, the insults maybe of others, because they don't endure. They don't decide how it all shakes down in eternity. We are looking for a city that is to come. And let's not be defined either by the stuff we have, as if we're living for our possessions, our time, our me time, all the other things we could be tempted to live for. We have a better inheritance than all those things to come. And that knowledge sets us free to share what we have with others. So when we think about how to apply these verses to our own lives, to the way we order our lives maybe, to consider how we will live and serve, I think these verses challenge us to remember that serving is not just about using your gifts, although it is about that. We've had two great weeks thinking about that. It's not just about doing things you love doing. It can be about that. But also serving is about doing good and just sharing what you have with others. When it comes to serving in the life of the church family here, there'll be times when there's a need for someone to do something that you hear about or read about in the news, and it just is so obvious that you are made for the role. It just couldn't be better designed for you. You're perfectly cut out for it, and you serve and get involved, and it's wonderful. Everyone rejoices. Great. There will be other times where there is this or that need, and you maybe don't feel like the right person to meet it, and you think, that's probably not something I can do. But at those times, would you consider maybe if there is anything that you could possibly share or offer or give to enable that need to be met? You might not be the greatest kids worker or youth worker, but there might be great gospel opportunities that we have as a church amongst our children and youth. We had record numbers at Friday Club this past week. There are people who need to hear the good news, Christians who need help in following Jesus. So will you share your resources and give up some of your time? Even if it's indirect, that can be a great help. Sometimes we can serve through freeing somebody else up to serve because they'd be better at that job. So maybe we could give some time to them to free them up to serve, to babysit, to cook for them, to give something to them, to help somebody do that other thing in church life, to invest in someone, to meet one-to-one with them, to encourage them in God's word, to be kind to someone, to do good to someone, to chat to them and welcome them to church, even though you've not spoken before, and it's got beyond that I should really know your name by now stage, and it's awkward. Be kind to them. Welcome them. Share with them. Consider what it is that you can offer back to God joyfully through Jesus that can be used to bless others, to share with God's people who are in need, that can be used to reach people with the gospel. It's not just about our gifts. We do serve using the gifts God has given us, but we also serve by sharing and meeting needs. You may not be able to give loads and loads towards a particular need of somebody else's, but chances are you could probably do something. What skills or gifts or talents or abilities will we share for the sake of others? What is it that you will offer to God through Jesus today? What money or possessions could you put at others' disposal? Is there anything you have that you could give away? We know we cannot meet everyone's need, but we shouldn't meet nobody's need. Whose approval are we living for? Identifying with Jesus will often bring disgrace. It won't always be the place of honor or approval from the world. Whose pleasure are we seeking? Are we seeking for the world to be pleased with us, or, verse 16, for God to be pleased with us? He is pleased when we bear the disgrace with his people, the disgrace that Jesus bore, and as we serve and give ourselves and give our things and share with others, even if they or others don't appreciate it, God does appreciate it. Often the calling upon citizens of heaven is to suffer outside the camp in the difficult and lonely place of exile. But the great joy of going out to that place of suffering is that Jesus is there. He is outside the camp. And we enter it, whenever we as Christians enter into a place that means we're going to suffer disgrace for the name of Jesus, well, Jesus is right there with us. What did we sing at the start of our service? He has walked this path before us. He is walking with us still. So what is your identity? Who are you? Can you say, I am a Christian? I identify with Jesus. I stand with him. I identify with his people. Just as Jesus was not ashamed to call them his brothers and sisters, I'm not ashamed to do that either. So I will do good and share with others, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. So let's name the name of Jesus. Let's stand with him. Let's share with others. Let's make sacrifices. Let's get stuck into church. Let's be baptized if that's what God's calling you to do. Let's become a serving member. You can see John through the door there later about that. Let's serve, let's give, let's turn up each week, let's listen, let's encourage, let's pray, let's sing, let's tell people about Jesus, let's do good. Let's say, I've got this, how can I use it to share with others and to please God? Because here we don't have an enduring city, but we are looking for the city that is to come. Let's pray. Why don't we take a moment to consider and reflect how God might be calling us to serve and to share with others. Father, we praise you and we thank you afresh for sending your Son, the Lord Jesus, to suffer in our place to make us holy. And Lord, now that that way is open for us to give back to you out of what you have given to us, we pray that you would prompt us and lead us as to how we can do that. May we be those who offer sacrifice of praise, and who share with others and do good. For we know with these sacrifices you are pleased. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
As the band take their places, we're going to sing a final song which speaks of the call of the kingdom, the call of God on the lives of his people, to come and to serve him. There's a great part in this first verse. Let me read it to you before we stand and sing. Hear the call of the kingdom. Lift your eyes to the king. Let his song rise within you as a fragrant offering. Notice the sacrifice of praise language there. A fragrant offering of how God, rich in mercy, came in Christ to redeem all who trust in his unfailing grace. Let's have this song singing through our hearts as we go through this week as well. But let's sing it now. Let's stand together.